He turned round, face illuminated with delight. "What? We've got to find out where their village is, haven't we? That's our assignment, scout the terrain." "Yes, I suppose so." He couldn't keep his eyes from the naiads sporting about. Yuri was plunging on, legs sending up a wave of spray. "No," Randolph bayed urgently. "Bad. People bad." Mansing watched the girls, whooping encouragement to Yuri as the lad ploughed through the water towards them. "Oh, to hell with dignity," he said under his breath, and splashed down into the stream. The first girl Yuri reached was about 19, with scarlet flowers tucked into her wet hair. She smiled radiantly up at him, hands holding his. "I'm Polly," she laughed. "All right," Yuri cried. The water only came halfway up her thighs. She really was completely naked. "I'm Yuri." She kissed him, damp body pressing against his sleeveless shirt, leaving a dark imprint. When she broke off, another girl slipped a garland of the orange vine flowers round his neck. "And I'm Samantha," she said. "You gonna kiss me, too?" She twined her arms round his neck, tongue slipping hungrily into his mouth. Other girls were circling round, scooping up handfuls of spray and showering them. Yuri was in the midst of a warm silver rain with raw ecstasy pounding down his nerves. Here in the middle of nowhere, paradise had come to Lalonde. The droplets fell in slow motion, tinkling sweetly as they went. He felt hands slip the rifle strap from his shoulder. More hands pulled at his shirt buttons. His trousers were undone, and his penis stroked lovingly. Samantha took a pace back, looking at him in adoration. She cupped her breasts, lifting them up towards him. "Now, Yuri," she pleaded, "take me now." Yuri pulled her roughly against him, his soaking trousers dangling round his knees. He heard an alarmed shout that was cut off. Three of the girls had pushed Mansing under the water. His legs were thrashing above the surface. The girls were laughing hysterically, muscles straining with the effort of keeping him down. "Hey," Yuri said. He couldn't move because of his stupid trousers. "Yuri," Samantha called. He turned back to her. She was opening her mouth wider than he would have believed physically possible. Long bands of muscle writhed around her chin as if fat worms were tunneling through her veins. Her cheeks started to split, beginning at the corners of her mouth and tearing back towards her ears. Blood leapt out of the wounds in regular beats, and she was still hinging her jaw apart. Yuri stared for one petrified second, then let loose a guttural roar of fright that reverberated round the impassive sentinel trees. His bladder gave out. Samantha's grisly head darted forward, carmine teeth clamping solidly round his throat, her blood spraying against his skin. "Randolph!" he yelled. Then her teeth tore into his throat, and his own blood burst out of his carotid artery to flood his gullet, quashing any further sounds. Randolph howled in rage as his master fell into the water, with Samantha riding him down. But one of the other girls looked straight at him and hissed in warning, flecks of saliva spitting out between her bared teeth. The sace turned tail and sprinted back into the jungle. "Power's going! Losing height! Losing height!" The BK-133 pilot's frantic voice boomed out of the command center's AV pillars. Every sheriff in the room stared at the tactical communication station. "We're going down!" The carrier wave hissed for another couple of seconds, then fell silent. "God almighty!" Candace Elford whispered. She was sitting at her desk at the end of the rectangular room. Like most of the capital's civic buildings, the sheriff's headquarters was made of wood. It sat in its own square fortified enclosure, a couple of hundred meters from the governor's dumper, a simplistic design that any pre-20th century soldier would have felt at home in. The command center itself formed one side of the parade ground, a long single-story building with four grey composite spheres housing the satellite uplinks spaced along the apex of the roof. Inside, plain wooden benches ran around the walls, supporting an impressive array of modern desktop processor consoles operated by sheriffs seated in composite chairs. On the wall opposite Candace Elford's desk, a big projection screen displayed a street map of Durringham, as far as it was possible to map that conglomeration of erratic alleyways and private passages.